Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Change Things Through Prayer. You are studying Lesson 4, Agreement Begins With You. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. I got so turned on that broadcast yesterday that we just need to get right back where we were so that we can not lose the ground that we've gained. I don't want to have to go back over all of that. So those of you that happened to miss the broadcast yesterday, that's what you need a VCR for. I mean, you just, I don't have the money. Well, use what we're teaching you, believe God and get the money. Amen. He'll get one for you. Amen. I mean, call around some of your friends at the church and so forth. They probably taped it. You need to get hold of all these series on prayer, particularly that one yesterday. Father, we thank you for the word today. We give you all the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. We worship you and praise you, and we thank you for this broadcast today. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember now that we were reading, let's flip back over there again to Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bible. This is the base for this portion of our study on prayer. And we find where the Apostle Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You put on you as the understood subject of the sentence," there in the 11th chapter, 11th verse, 6th chapter of Ephesians. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, you have to understand this. You're the one that's going to have to do it. When it comes to speaking to the devil in Jesus' name, you're going to have to do it. You're not going to be able to talk God into doing this. God has already assigned it to you and to me in our own personal field of authority. Jesus said, "In my name, these signs shall follow those believers." He said, "Now you go. You go. And in my name, you preach the gospel to every creature. Those that will, those that believe it shall be saved. Those that don't, won't." Now listen to what he said about those that believe the gospel he was telling them to preach. "These signs shall follow those that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." He said, "In my name, you do it." See, he didn't say, "You come to me and I'll do it." He said, "You do it in my name." All right. "You put on the whole armor of God." Now then, he lists that armor, and he comes on down to the place where he says in the 16th verse, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication," or praying always with all different kinds of prayer. Praying with all different manner of prayer, one translation said. Yesterday, then we got over here into the 18th chapter of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus has begun to talk about certain things concerning the prayers of binding and loosing and prayers of agreement. Now he lists the binding and loosing first. However, for study purposes only, just for clarity, we're going to take up the prayer of agreement, and then we'll take up the prayer of binding and loosing. And then once you see how they're laid out there, then we can go back to the way that they're laid out here in the Scripture. Now, let me preface this with this. We're talking about a particular manner of prayer, In fact, let me just go back over this for a moment here. He said there in that 6th chapter of Ephesians, praying all, you put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, have your loins girt about with the truth. In other words, you're girded up with the truth. You don't stumble around when you've got the Word of God under you. Take the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and so forth. And then he said, praying always. Now, Luke 18:1 said men ought to always pray. Prayer ought to be a part of your life constant. From the moment you wake up, I mean, you ought to be in communication with God all day. Remember what our three statements that preface all study of prayer was? Prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Prayer is not trying to get God to do something, because He's already done something. We already have His attention. And prayer is communicating with God in receiving what all God has already provided in Christ Jesus. So, all manner of prayer, always. All manner of prayer, always. I want to touch on this just a word or two before we get to this part. Your prayer life ought to be the most consistent, the most constant thing that you do. I mean, it ought to be a part of your life all day long, every day. I mean, it ought to be like to you that Jesus, by the Spirit of God who is in here, is a constant, never leaving, never forsaking companion that you're with all day long. All day long. You ought to go to bed at night. The last word you say. I mean, if you're married, the Bible said don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you've been mad at your wife, I mean, turn over to her and say, sweetheart, let's fix this up before the sun goes down. I mean, dear me, we can't go along with this. And get in agreement because of this agreement prayer business that we began talking about yesterday. We'll get right back to that in a moment. But then the last thing, you ought to shut your eyes saying, I just worship you, Father. I just praise you and thank you. You remember that little kid's prayer? It, in reality, is not as kiddy a prayer as people have labeled it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. Oh, you remember that? You remember it? And it says, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, let's put in those kind of words for a child. But Jesus said you ought to become as a little child. The last thing you ought to do before you shut your eyes is not just this, bless mama, bless daddy, bless me, us four no more, you know, something like that. But just praise and worship. Prayer of dedication and worship. Prayer of praise and worship. Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you. Now, I want to warn you, there's times you get started doing it, maybe another hour before you go to sleep. Now, particularly if you're a night person like I am anyway. It doesn't take much for my eyes just to do like that, you know. And there's some preachers you want to put on your tape recorder at night and others you don't. I mean, some of them will have you standing up in the middle of the bed and kicking the cover, you know. But anyway, you get up the next morning. I just want to praise you for this day. I believe that I receive the healing power of God all day long. I believe I'm healthy. I dedicate my mind to you. All day long then, as you begin to just visit and praise the Lord. Visit with Him. Visit with Him. And we're going to talk about, in the study of this, eventually down the road a ways, we're going to talk about the different forms of prayer. But I do want to remind you of this. Be very, very careful to remember that what we're talking about is prayer that changes things, not God. He's always the same. So always base your prayer on what He has already said. And don't get caught up in traditional ways of praying and just rattling off different prayer, just rattling off different things. How'd you like to have somebody do you that way? Just think about it sometime when you're praying. Listen to yourself and put yourself in God's place and listen to what you've been saying. Now, you go in there and talk to God of some high-fluting, long-talk, perpendicular kind of idea. Oh, yes, oh, God, you know. Dear Lord, boy, don't talk to me like that. I mean, I don't want to hear you talk like that. I can tell right off you're not much of a friend of mine. You're going to put on some kind of air when you talk to me. And plus another area of this is prayer that changes things.
This is prayer that changes circumstances. This is prayer that changes people's lives. This is not prayer that changes God. He don't ever change. And so all of your flowery business, all of your traditional yakety, 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 yak is not going to impress God one way or the other. It's His Word between you and God that causes prayer results and causes great and mighty expressions of the Holy Ghost in your life. There's prayer that changes things. There's prayers of thanksgiving and praise. That's another category of prayer. There's prayer of dedication and worship and prayer of commitment. That's another field of prayer. There's united prayer. There is a way that the Bible describes that a whole congregation ought to pray. And I don't mind telling you right now, 99 9/10% of them don't pray that way. They pray some other way. That there's a multitude of churches that I will not turn a prayer request into because I don't want that kind of stuff prayed over me. Now, I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm just cautious about the things that I do with my prayer life. Now, we're talking about prayer that changes things. And in prayer that changes things, we want to always find out first what the Word of God has to say about it. And under that, we want to remember that we're not going to go on what we think the Bible says, but go find out what it says. The Bible don't say spare the rod and spoil the child. The Bible said the man that spares the rod hateth his child. Well, I guess I got to go beat my kid up. No, that's not what it said at all. You need to find out what the Bible is talking about when it talks. It's not just talking about beating the tar out of them. That isn't it at all. See, you need to go find out what the Bible has to say about it for real. Read it for yourself and read it till you know what God is saying to you in it. And then you have foundation for prayer. Now let's go back to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. Here we see Jesus is saying, in talking about an area of prayer, here was the 15th verse, if thy brother trespass against thee. Now he said, if the brother trespasses against you, go to him and tell him of the fault between you and him. Not everybody in the church. Keep your big blab mouth shut about other situations. Like, you just shoot your mouth off all the time. You ain't never going to have any prayer life. How could God ever reveal something for you to pray about someone else when you just tell it all over town? No. You'll find that people that have effective prayer lives, they get to where they don't talk a whole lot. They spend most of their time talking to God. They get to where sometimes you don't have a whole lot to say to people until that anointing comes on you in the pulpit or something. But if you develop a prayer life, you become a very closed person about personal things and about other people. And you're not just out trying to shoot off your opinion to everybody all the time because you have a communication with God. You find out God's a very closed person. He's not going to go tattletale on you. Aren't you glad about that? He's not going to just go out, and blab a bunch of stuff about you. But now notice what Jesus was saying. He said, if he'll not hear you, take with you one or two more as witnesses. They need to hear the fact that this fella will not settle with you on this. You go to the fella and say, listen, if I've offended you, I apologize, but I don't want strife between you and me. Let's get this settled up. No, I might forgive, but I don't ever forget. And he won't listen, and he just said, no, you did me wrong. I ain't having no more to do with you. Well, hey, man, don't you know that Jesus, don't bring Jesus into this. I don't want to hear none of that. Well, then you go get somebody else and you say, look, I need you to go with me because if I just tell you what he's done or what he said, then that's just me telling a tale. So I want you to help me. Now, the Bible said where two or three agree in the name of Jesus, there Jesus is in the midst, right? Okay, so we agree and we go over there together and he acts the same way. Then it says, go to the church. Now, that don't mean get up in the pulpit of the church and just blab it out all or go call the news media so the whole church and town will know about it. No. He's talking about the eldership, the leadership of the church, where you and where this situation has bearing. This situation don't have bearing on churches and stuff all over town, except very, very remotely. This situation has bearing in the church where you and the brethren here involved are going to church. Now, he said here, if he won't hear that, then let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Didn't say he was one. It said, and it didn't actually say treat him like one. It said let him be to you as one. In other words, don't involve him in your prayer life anymore. Why? Jesus said, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's talking about breaking the power of the devil over the man, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. He's not talking about binding the man. In fact, you can't anyway. Not with the power of God. Well, I'll tell you, brother, this other brother and I are agreeing that you're going to give us a new car. No. No, well, you can agree that if you want to, but you're not going to have God move in the midst of it, because that's witchcraft. That's not the prayer of agreement before God. I was preaching in a Bible school one time, and a bunch of these young men and women got all excited, and they wanted the tapes, and they didn't have the money to buy them, so they got together, and all of them got together and met, and they agreed. We set ourselves in agreement according to Matthew 18, 19, and 20 that Brother Copeland's going to give us these tapes. Well, I was praying, getting ready for the service, and the Lord started dealing with me about these tapes, and I walked in the door of the meeting, and here's what came out of my mouth. I mean, as I prayed, it stirred up the Spirit of God in me, and I said, now, I was going to give you people these tapes, but I'm not going to now. Because, you see, you prayed. See, the Lord let me know this in order to minister to them. He wasn't tattling on them. We were all in this meeting together. He said, I said, the Lord, let me know, and you're going to have to learn something here. I said, you young preachers are going to have to learn that you can't get together and agree about moving and binding and loosing people. You can't do that because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not where this works at all. That's witchcraft. And I said, you got together and agreed I was going to give you the tapes. Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pray with you and agree with you in the name of Jesus that God will give you the money to buy the tapes. I said, you set out something on me by praying amiss. Now you hear what I'm saying? Oh, God, I want you to break my husband's back where you can heal him and he'll know Jesus is real. He won't be such a... Lord, what kind of spirit are you of, woman? Well, one woman called one time and said, I want you to pray and get my husband back. And the guy in the prayer on the prayer team said, well, is he a believer? No. And he said, well, is he gone? Yeah, I want you to pray and get him back. And he read her the scripture which said, if an unbeliever wants to live with you, fine. If he wants to leave, let him go. In these cases, you're not bound. She said, well, I don't care if it does say that. By God, you pray that he comes back. He said, I'm not going to do it. She said, why? He said, I got a pretty good idea why he left. I'm telling you now. Now, listen, see, you can try to use God, and you're not going to use him at all. Now, Jesus said, I want this man to be under you as a heathen. Why? And he explained why. Again, he said, obviously he'd said this over and over again to them. Again, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He said, you let this man be a heathen to you, because if you don't, if you allow his influence, if you keep fussing with him and you keep messing with him, you keep letting him upset you, you're not paying any more attention to what he says about you, to you or to other people, than you would if he's a heathen and a publican. Because if you let that influence you and you get out of agreement, then your prayer life is affected and won't work. You see what he was saying there? All right, now, let's talk for a moment here about this prayer of agreement itself. The word agreement comes as a translation, in this case here, of a Greek word which means harmonize. And one translation puts it this way. In fact, you ought to read it in the Amplified translation and look at those words that amplify that word to give you full meaning there of what the Greek word says. To harmonize or make a symphony together. Now, what is a symphony orchestra? Or what is a symphony sound? It's harmony, yes, but there's more to it than that. It means that all available instruments together in harmony. Now, this is what Jesus is saying here. All of you with all your instruments together, harmonizing, agreeing together. All right? And I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth. Are you on earth? Yes, I am too. We qualify. Amen. Now listen to what he said. As touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now why is he there in the midst? To carry out that agreement. In other words, Jesus agrees with our agreement. And the power of the Spirit of God is here to carry out what Jesus agrees with. Amen. Now then, agreement together. You notice in Mark 11, 25, Jesus is talking about faith here. Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, talking about the faith of God and how it works. And he's talking about prayer. He said, I say unto you what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So, the thing that we're talking about here is walking in agreement. Now, for study purposes here, let's take this thing apart here a little bit. The Greek word, the way it'd be spelled out in English is S-U-M-P-H-O-N-E-O, are all instruments in harmony. So, what are we talking about in harmonizing together before God? Well, if you and I went to pray, what are we? We're three-part beings. We're spirits, we are mental beings, and we are physical beings. We have a mind. We live in a body. We are spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul made up of your will, your emotions, and your mind, and you live in a body. Now, let's get all three of those instruments in line, in agreement. If you're going to bring the spirit in mind, Mark 11, 23, you believe in your heart. Believe it in your heart. See? Bringing your heart into harmony with your mind. I believe it in my mind. I speak the word of God. I take authority over my emotions and over my thought life to flow in line with what we have gone to God's word and settled on the base of His word as the base of this prayer of agreement. And then we bring our bodies into line with that by acting as though it's done, by speaking as though it's done. I'm not going to pray and then go out and act like it isn't done. I've prayed this. I've done this time and again. I have laid prayer down on God's word. Somebody said, I want you to agree with me on this. And then we'd come in and we'd pray. And we'd get through, pray on the word of God. Your word says we believe, we receive it, and we stand on it. We thank you that this promise is so. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm just standing here worshiping God. And when I got through, I said, brother, I agree with that. And then he said, they shall ask. I always make them ask. You ask too. You ask the same words I ask. And there's been times that we sit down and write that agreement out, exactly the same words, and then both of us pray the thing. Both of us sign it. And I say, praise God, the agreement is established. And stick my hand out like that, and they'd take my hand and say, I sure do hope so. Why, you didn't agree? Dear Lord, you still are hoping. Our faith connection according to the Word of God didn't happen. Well, I don't see what all the difference it makes. Well, that's because you ain't God. neither am I, but I'm going to do what the man said. I'm going to do what Jesus, my man, my Savior, my deliverer, said. I'm telling you, it's happened so many times, I ain't got any way to share with you how many times it's happened in our life. Heavenly Father, I pray for this television audience right now. I pray in the name of Jesus they may be made whole, spirit and soul and body, financially and socially. Now you pray that. God, I receive being made whole, spirit and soul and body, financially and socially. Now I agree with you that it is done. You agree with, don't hope it's done, agree with me that it is done. And then confess it, think it, act it, believe it, and walk on it. In Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.